But I think he probably, even if he got shut out at the Oscars, Chris Golden will win a Golden Globe.
I think he would win Best Actor in a Supporting Role on the C4 podcast.
Would you taking the Best Actor?
In a leading role, of course.
Brown, a long pass to Pavel Bure. In the clear, right in. Yeah, it scores! Pavel Bure!
He will play. You know he'll play. He'll play on crutches. He will play.
Burrow steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! They've slain the dragon! Now knocked down by high stick, the flush back to Bieksa, he shoots, he scores! Kevin Bieksa, the double overtime goal! And the Canucks will play for the Stanley Cup!
From the heart of the Smelosphere, it's the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Welcome to the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Matt Lee at MattLee980 on Twitter with you here for episode 46, I want to say. I'm not sure. Clay, can you verify that very quickly?
I can, and I think you are too low. I think we're at 48, actually.
We're at 48? What happened to 46 and 47?
Well, 47 was just you and me. Obviously, you want to forget that from your memory.
Well, yeah, and, probably.
And 46 was... Oh, Chris and I both on the phone, so I could see why he wanted to forget that one, too. Oh. But no, we are...
Hey, well, you know what? Admittedly, I want to forget most episodes we record.
I actually thought 47 was quite good. It was short, it was quick. We were both in studio talking about Dad Lee and talking about...
Oh, yeah, that was a good episode.
And how Sean wishes that you were his dad instead of me.
That's,
you know,
right,
all those
kind of things. Well, it would be remiss without introducing my co-host at this time. It's at Canuck Clay on Twitter. Clay and Emo joining us via phone, as you have guessed. Chris Golden at Light Force is away on the island, I believe, taking some time off.
Yeah, he is a man of the people, so he's traveling and doing his thing.
Funnily enough, I think I saw Chris Golden walking down the red carpet at the Oscars last night as well, though, so maybe that's where he actually is.
How do he look?
He looked dapper as usual. I mean, those crystal clear blue eyes of his look good in a stunning, you know, three-piece suit, probably $5,000.
But I think he probably, even if he got shut out at the Oscars, he will definitely win. Chris Golden will win a Golden Globe.
I think he would win best actor in a supporting role on the C4 podcast.
Would you taking the best actor ever?
In a leading role, of course.
I'll take best musical score then. How's that?
Yeah, that's good enough. Fair enough. I think best original song would be good there for okay. Canuck Clay as well. Are you a fan of the Oscars, Clay?
Nope, didn't turn it on. Don't care. Don't even know. I just know Neil Patrick Harris was hosting. Got a couple of haiku, actually, believe it or not, on the Oscars. Maybe that will sneak into haiku corner, but no, I'm not a fan. How about you?
Well, I had to watch it sort of for work. At least that's what I'll tell myself. And I did watch it. So, you know, I every year I watch the Oscars, I'm reminded of all these movies that I haven't seen that I have to see because they're apparently big deals. Like, I didn't see Birdman. I haven't seen The Theory of Everything. I've seen Grand Budapest Hotel, but I haven't seen a lot of the other... Like, I haven't even seen American Sniper yet.
You know, that is probably one of the reasons why I don't watch, is it reminds me just how much of a life I do not have, because the only movies I watch are stuff that I go to with my kids. And I'm not knocking kids or family movies, but they are never going to be nominated for best film, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, Big Hero 6 won the best animated feature. Have you seen that
okay.
one?
Okay, yes, I did see. That's the second last movie I saw, and the last movie I've seen is whatever Hunger Games are on now, 3 or 4 or whatever it is. So those are the two shows I saw, yeah.
Well, clearly here on the C4 Podcast, we're avid Canuck watchers, but we're not so much good with the movies.
Amen, brother.
All right, this is Rewind on the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Matt Lee and Clayton Emo with you here on episode 48. It's 48, right?
It is 48. You got it.
See, it's only been 5 minutes, and I've already forgotten which episode we're on already.
You know what that means, though? That means we're going to do something big for 50.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to have to plan something out for 50.
Okay, we got about a week to think about that.
Yeah, well, better think of something quickly. You know who's better to think of something quickly, Clay, is the Vancouver Canucks. Ryan Miller looking like he could be on the shelf for a little bit of time after colliding with Yannick Hansen in the second period of yesterday's game against the New York Islanders. Just first of all, what was your reaction to seeing the play? Did it look serious enough for you that you think Miller might miss some time here?
Yeah, just because of the way he reacted. You know, I think Hansen was racing to the net with Bailey, Josh Bailey, correct? And then Bailey kind of veered off to
the... Bailey went off to the side, but Hansen was the one who went crashing into Miller.
Yeah, and then I believe someone still got a shot off, and Miller tried to react, and then you could see him. He hit the ice twice with his hands, as in either I'm trying to get up, or I'm really frustrated, or I'm really mad, or I want to play piano in Clay's next video. Whatever he was doing, he was hitting the ice with both of his hands, and it did not look good. And yeah, I haven't heard much since the game. Have you?
No, I did read a couple tweets saying that Miller was seen limping, quote-unquote, badly after the game. So you can take from that what you will. But, you know, we've seen players who have limped badly and then the next game they're playing. So you try
That's
not
true.
To take too much away from it. But if, you know, you're reading into that tweet alone, it could be a couple weeks maybe for Ryan Miller, maybe a week, maybe even just a couple games. But I wouldn't count on Ryan Miller playing next game, that's for sure, especially with the way Eddie Lack's been performing, especially the way he performed last night against the Islanders.
No, that's true. And the way that there's a day in between, you know, they're playing Boston tomorrow and then they have Buffalo. So Boston, they should be able to at least be competitive with or beat. They just did last week, right? And then Buffalo should be a gimme game. So really, at least there's a, you know, here's a chance for Eddie Lack to step in. And it's just concerning. You know, Miller's not the biggest guy. We've talked about how scrawny he is, actually. And but he is quite resilient. So we'll kind of have to see what happens. You're right. It could be as minor as, you know, just a muscle or a small thing, or it could be as bad as a tweak or, God forbid, a sprain, or it could be brutal.
It could be brutal. I mean, just the way he reacted. I mean, you talked about his reaction on the play a little bit. I think maybe it was more frustration that the play wasn't stopped right away. I think that's what Ryan Miller was sort of indicating. But nevertheless, Eddie Lack comes in. He comes in cleanup duty, if you will. Made 20 saves, or 27 saves, rather, for the win in the shared shutout, if you will. And ironically enough, Ryan Miller gets credit for the win.
Did you see that quote?
He makes 10 saves and he gets the credit for the win. And Eddie Lack turns aside 27 and doesn't get anything.
And just so our listeners know, that's because whoever is in net for the winning team, when that team scores their game-winning goal, that goalie is the one who credited with not only the win in this case, but the shutout as well.
Yeah, that's right. So Eddie Lack doesn't get the win or the shutout, and all the Ryan Miller fans will talk about how Ryan Miller's got 28 wins on the season. So... Can we talk a little bit about Willie Desjardins' comments about Eddie Lack after the game? I mean, once again, Willie Desjardins giving a glowing review of Eddie Lack after the game, saying he stepped in, he was real phenomenal, he's got a lot of confidence in both goaltenders. I mean, this sort of sounds like a familiar script with John Tortorella last year when he said that he had confidence in Eddie Lack too. So if Ryan Miller is going to miss any sort of time for the Vancouver Canucks, how confident do you believe Willie Desjardins is in giving the ball to Eddie Lack for a week or even two?
I think Coach Willie D is much more confident than he was in Lack than he was maybe in November or December, where, you know, Lack, he didn't get a lot of games, so it kind of wasn't his fault. As we talked about on this podcast, he got a lot of the tougher games, right? The games on the back-to-backs and so on and so forth. But I think with Eddie's game has been so much better in the last 4 to 6 weeks that Willie D has every right to be confident in him. And yeah, Markstrom waiting too. If this Miller thing is serious, at least they should have confidence in Markstrom, who's lighting up in Utica. So it could be worse, right? It could be a lot worse, but I don't want to say too much or worry too much until we hear about what the injury, how serious it is to Miller.
Yeah, you know what, and I'll just sort of echo your sentiments very quickly. I've got complete confidence in Eddie Lack moving forward in the next couple of weeks. Like you mentioned, Boston coming up on tomorrow in Boston, mind you, so that might be a different element compared to having them in Vancouver. But after that, they've got Buffalo to end that five-game road trip. So I'm confident in Eddie Lack for the next couple games moving forward. I mean, we've talked at length about what Eddie Lack would be like as a starting goaltender. I mean, he's a great backup, but we don't know what he would be like carrying the mail for the Canucks. Jacob Markstrom, you touched on him a little bit earlier. I don't know if you know the statistic, but Jacob Markstrom can be called up and play either 10 games or 30 days, whichever comes first, without having to clear waivers when the Canucks send him back down again.
Okay.
So with that in mind, it seems unlikely that Ryan Miller will miss 10 games or a month. So it seems
right.
pretty clear that Jacob Markstrom should be called, if not recalled already, and he will serve as Eddie Lack's backup for the time being, and there doesn't seem to be too much of an urgency to rush Ryan Miller back.
No, that's a really good point, Matt, and I presume that means 10 games that he plays in, right? Not 10 games that the team plays.
Ooh, that's a good, another good question. Maybe he, even if he had to appear in just 10 games as the backup, like on the bench, it seems unlikely that Ryan Miller would miss that many games anyway. Like, it didn't look good what happened to Ryan Miller. Like, it looks like a limped or hyperextension of some sort, but I can't imagine Ryan Miller would miss more than 10 games.
But you're right, Matt. 10 games, you know, with even with this busy schedule, that basically is 20, 21 days, so 3 weeks. So do we expect Miller to be back in 3 weeks? We hope so. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, if let's put it this way. If he's not back in 3 weeks, if it's longer, the Canucks are going to have to obviously do whatever they can to still try and make the postseason. But by then, the Canucks might either... I mean, it's possible that the Canucks might actually already be out of a playoff spot 3 weeks from now.
Or... yes, that is possible, but or, my friend, they could have even solidified further their second place showing with some strong play from Lack. But yeah, you know, you make a really good point. Depending on how this Miller injury turns out, I think it will shape just how active the Canucks are in, well, two things. How bad is the Miller injury and how well are the Canucks going to do in his absence? It's going to shape what happens in 2 weeks at the March 2 deadline. It's going to be fascinating, actually.
Before we head into half full, half empty, can we talk a little bit about injuries to this team in general? I mean, Ryan Miller possibly now on the shelf. He's already joining Alex Edler, Chris Tanev, already on the shelf on the blue line. And then there's Richardson, Burrows, and Bonino up front. I mean, those are some pretty big injuries to some pretty key players on the Canucks roster.
Absolutely. It could have even been worse when Spezza got hit by the puck. You see that?
Yeah, he got hit by the puck on a clearing attempt, I believe. Missed some time, and then he did come back in time for the end of the game.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, well, you don't laugh at someone getting hit in the face, but there's that. Actually, I tweeted it out, and I'm sure others saw it. Or there's that shot of him waiting in the not even a tunnel, basically trying to get back on the ice with 1 minute left. But obviously, by that point, the game was well in hand, and they didn't need him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sort of was funny how it was, like you said, a minute left. He's sort of waiting impatiently by the end boards, hoping he could come back for the last minute. But they didn't need him. The game was already well in hand.
Yeah, it's kind of like me and roller hockey. You know, whether the only time I get to play is if we're up by five or down by five. They never let me get on when it's, you know, within a goal.
Or are the other times they'll just tell you it's the game's at one rink when really it's at the other, and then you'll end up going to the wrong rink and not having to play for them.
I was wondering why my Richmond League would have me out in Delta, but that's okay.
I want to bring up one more thing, actually, is the amount of ice time that some players received on this game. You know, you look at a guy like Bo Horvat, his ice time continues to inch up. It's at 12:59 in the Islanders game. Zach Cassian played 16:07. Sean Mathias also playing some big minutes. He played 14:08. So, I mean, at first glance, you're starting to see a lot of third and fourth line players pick up those minutes left behind by sort of a weak looking second line.
No, that's a really good point. McMillan had 11 minutes himself. Yeah, so there, even Lyndon Bay had 11 minutes. So, gone are the days where of the 4, 5, 6 minute players, right? Remember, that's what Tortorella had a knack of doing in his year here. Speaking of McMillan, he's kind of not really been that noticeable.
Well, I think some of that has to do with him being a new face on the team, sort of getting acclimated to new teammates, new line mates, and stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, he did have the breakaway. He was stopped by Halak there, but
aside from that,
I think he's been okay so far, about as good as a waiver wire pickup should be expected to be.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, I'm just looking at this box because I just find it kind of fascinating now that we're talking about time on ice. Really quickly, can you guess there's only three skaters that did not get power play time. You might be looking at it already, but just take a guess. There's 2D and 1 and 1 4. Sorry, 2 forwards and 1D. Just take a guess.
That did not get power play time.
Not even a second worth.
I would assume Ronald Kennens, Ronnie Hockey, did not get power play time.
Ding, ding, ding. Very good.
1D
man. One D-man.
The D-man, I assume, didn't get it, would probably be Biega.
Wow, and you're not looking at this?
No, I'm not.
Okay, that's 2 for 2.
If it was one, if I had to pick between Spezza or Biega getting power play time, it would obviously be Spezza, I think.
All right, you're 2 for 2. Give me one more forward, Matt, that did not get power play time.
I believe I saw Zach Cassian on the first unit.
Yep.
Chris Higgins always gets power play time because it's Chris Higgins. Did Yannick Hansen get any power play time?
You got 33 seconds. I will tell you, it is Sean Mathias.
Sean Mathias doesn't get a sniff of power play time.
No, he doesn't. But
well, 2 out of 3 isn't bad for me.
No, very good. I'm impressed.
If and when, like, the Canucks sent down Nicholas Jensen a few days ago, or today after the game.
Yep.
Does that sort of indicate, number one, that Nick Bonino might be healthy enough to play, or maybe Brad Richardson for that matter?
Yeah, and what's up with Burrows? What's his injury?
I don't remember. I mean, it was sustained after the Rangers game. I don't want to say it was a casualty of his fight with Chris Kreider, but we don't know what his injury is at this point.
No, but I
haven't seen anything indicating Alex Burrows will be coming back anytime soon either.
Yeah, no, if Jensen's down, I think it definitely, that means one of those three guys. And it sounds like both Bonino and Burrows, or Bonino and Richardson, were skating today?
I believe it was Bonino and Richardson, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, then I think you're right, Matt. At least one of them is coming back, if not both.
Now, that in mind, like, let's say hypothetically that Nick Bonino is coming back. Do you still start to take away the ice time from guys like Bo Horvat and even Ronnie Kennens and Yannick Hansen, who have played exceptionally well on that third, fourth line role?
Yeah, I think eventually if Bonino is our indeed second line center, he needs those minutes back, and I think he'll only come in if he is healthy. So yes, I do see naturally the minutes of other guys coming down a bit, but at least now they have shown that they can thrive under those minutes, and I'm sure Willie Desjardins will have no problem putting those guys in. It just means the minutes will be even more spread out, I think. And you look at it today, you know, from the forwards, the biggest minute guy was, what, 16 minutes. No, sorry, Henrik had 20, and Daniel had 21, but the next biggest guy after that was only 16 minutes, and that was Zach Kassian, their line mate. So
Willie DeJong is showing that there's a possibility, at least, for the Canucks to be rolling with four lines, which I think at this point in time in the season is probably a recipe for success rather than a recipe for failure.
In case some of you wonder who the best is.
This guy's an incompetent fool.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
This guy is an absolute media junkie.
The best of the best of the best, sir. with honors.
Don't push me here.
But we just sucked.
Oh no! We suck again!
I rediscovered just how awesomely awesome my life is.
This isn't rock bottom, I don't know what is.
All right, this is Half Full, Half Empty. Matt Lee at Matt Lee 980 on the Twitter machine, joined by Canuck Clay. Clay Nemo, by the way, Canuck Clay on Twitter. You know what? One of these days I'm going to get the whole introduction thing right, by the way.
You're getting better. You're getting much better.
It's getting close. Like, the confidence is there, just the execution is not.
Could not get any worse, though.
I gotta take lessons from Chris Golden. You know what, Clay? Let's. You know what? It's not half full, half empty, without talking about the one, the only, the man wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a goatee, Zach Kassian.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Chris Golden.
Well, we could talk about Chris Golden, but I think we've talked enough about Chris Golden, to be honest.
Sure, let's talk about Zach. What do you want to say?
Well, I mean, this is a guy who just confuses the heck out of me. Like, sometimes he's like the girl who sends you all these kinds of messages and you don't know how to interpret them. Like, one night he'll look great, the other night he'll be benched. It seems like sometimes he can't even stay in the lineup unless he scores a goal. So you tell me, based on what you saw from Zach Kassian yesterday against the Islanders, where do you think he stands right now as a Vancouver Canuck?
Okay, right now I think he stands in a good place. I think he's only had that one pretty poor game in his recent one, and that was the one against Minnesota, as we know, on the 16th.
Yes.
And because of that game, was he not benched for Thursday the 19th, is correct?
Yeah, he did sit out one game after the poor Minnesota game.
Right, and he seemed to get the hint because he got 2 points against New Jersey and another point last night against the Islanders.
So he's got three goals in two games, by the way.
Yeah, all goals. And you know, the one against the Islanders was on the power play. The other two with the Sedins on their line. So anyone can, not, I won't say anyone, most people can do well on the Sedin line. But I think he really wants to stay in the lineup. The Canucks really want him to do well, whether it's to keep him or to trade him, who knows. And I think that benching after the Minnesota game, yes, he had a bad game against Minnesota, despite the rest of the team winning, I mean, playing well and winning, he got it. He got benched and he got the message and he's come back really strong. And I look to see him, even with Bonino coming back and Richardson and Burrows all knocking on the door, hopefully getting better soon, I see him working really hard to stay in the lineup. And you're right, his time on his ice time tonight was 16 minutes. That's the most he's had probably in a very long time.
So I'm confused. Like, is this some smoke and mirrors from the Canucks? Is this smoke and mirrors from Benning or Desjardins? Like, if you're a pessimist, like perhaps myself, Zach Kassian is playing on a line with the Sedins because they're showcasing him for a future trade. Or are they rewarding him for his pretty good efforts lately by placing him with the Sedins?
That's a good question.
It's all in the eyes of the beholder here, and it doesn't seem like there's a right or wrong answer, but I don't know where the real Zach Kassian is. Like, is this the real Zach Kassian, the one that we've seen score 3 goals in 2 games, or is the real Zach Kassian the one who follows up those 3-game stretches with a very dud performance like he did against Minnesota?
I think it's part of being a, what is he, 22 or 23-year-old player? Yes. By now, he's not 18 or 19 or 20 or 21, obviously. He's not that young anymore, so we want to see more consistency. But he's still entering what's supposed to be the prime years for any player, so I think you're going to get a bit of good and bad, but hopefully, I'm optimistic. This is the good Zach Kassian is the one we want to see. And maybe, finally, we are seeing what everyone hoped to see out of him when he got traded here for Cody.
All right, well, we talked about this last week. Where do you stand right now on Zach Kassian as a Vancouver Canuck? Do you believe him to be traded by the trade deadline, or would you rather see him stick it out here?
You know, if I was pushed to bet, I see him being traded still at the deadline, and I think Benning's just thrilled that he is playing well and bolstering his trade value, because obviously he's not going to do anything for his trade value if he's not even playing, which is kind of weird, right? That's why the benching is so weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what about you?
Well, by no means do I think that Jim Benning's phone is ringing off the hook now that Zach Kassian has had a pretty good February. That said, I think there are GMs around the league who at this present time are looking at him and thinking, oh, yep, well, maybe Zach Kassian's a little bit more legitimate than everyone thought back in January. You know, this is a Zach Kassian who, at least by hook or by crook in the last couple games, or a couple weeks rather, has shown he's got a bit of a nose for the net. He's still playing with that sandpaper. Like, we saw him throw some gloved punches against the Islanders as well. So that's always been there. Now, I mean, those are rare players, those Zach Kassians that can score and be a physical threat. So I would like to say I probably would agree with you that he's being showcased in a pretty good manner right now, to the point where maybe he's not on the Canucks roster in March.
No, I agree with you. But at the same time, if I think Jim Benning has shown, basically given the other trades that the Evander Kane stuff that we talked about a couple podcasts ago, he doesn't seem like the type who's going to go on a, you know, be reactionary or go on impulse, right? He's going to be very methodical, very well calculated, very well thought out. So if he does not get an offer for Zach that he doesn't like, I mean, if he doesn't get a good offer, he will be in no rush to trade him. And then, look, now they have a player who's been playing way better than he was a month ago even. And you can almost look at it as a trade deadline bonus, the fact that we have this forward now who can play top 6 minutes and produce.
Yeah, I mean, by no means, I think it would take an offer that would just blow Jim Benning's socks off.
Yeah.
Next to move Zach Kassian at this point. Like, we've talked about his penchant for making, quote, the hockey deal.
Yeah,
I think it's. Yep. I think there could be a deal on the table, but whether or not Jim Benning will actually bite on it is another debate in itself. Sticking to trade deadline speculation, do you believe that with the possible injury to Ryan Miller, that effectively closes the door on an Eddie Lack deal?
Yeah, that's a good. Yes, absolutely. If obviously the more serious that Miller's injury is, the less likely we are to see Lack move. And it's funny, as you know, we dedicated our last podcast to, or we titled it at least, the whole thing about are the Canucks lacking, or is whatever it is Lack can be moved. But it's funny how the timing is, and now they're going to lean on him to get them through and to continue on their push to the playoffs.
Yeah. Very quickly, let's talk about Ronnie Kennens, or Ronnie Hockey, as some people have been calling him now. Just how much more impressed are you? I mean, we talked about him a little bit after his first 4 or 5 games as a Canuck, but this is becoming a regular thing now, where after 10 or 12 games, he's looking more and more like a mainstay on the Canucks' fourth line.
Yeah, you can tell he's a player. And, you know, I heard Tony Gallagher talking about it on the radio. He was saying that maybe there are a lot of guys like this in the Latvias and the Belarusians of the world. They just haven't really got a got a chance. But then you see it in the Olympics, they're holding Team Canada, the vaunted Team Canada. They're like one or two goals, right? Barely eking out a victory. All to say that, you know, I'm very impressed with Ronald Kennings, of course. And he hits, he skates, he has a knack for goals, even if they're fluky, as we've spoken about. But he's a player, and he's certainly better than the other fourth liners we've had in the past, the Reskoviches and the of the world. So I am, you know, it's going to be tough for him to stick, or maybe it might be tough for him to stick as those three guys, as we mentioned, come back, Burrows, Bonino, Richardson. But at least he gives the Canucks some flexibility and some options. But he obviously has very, very good chemistry with Bo Horvat, and part of the reason why, they're each part of the reason, it's reciprocal, why they're both playing well.
I'm very curious as to see what Willie D will do if and when the forward group gets healthy.
I think
that it's Ronnie Kennings is making a case to stay in this lineup. I mean, I've seen some comparisons like Yannick Hansen, Derek Dorsett, even a little bit of Rafi Torres in Ronnie Kennings' game. I mean, whenever he has the puck or even when he doesn't have the puck, you sort of notice him every time he's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would be very interesting when those three veterans come back. You know, the ones I think of is McMillan, obviously, would be, the first guy to go. And then you're looking at guys like Bay and like Kennings who aren't necessarily top six, so they're more likely to be moved around a bit, or maybe they're rotated through. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's dictated by the opponent, right? Like, what kind of lineup do you want? A speedy one, a skill one, a bruising one? Who knows?
Let me ask you this hypothetical question. Let's say that Nick Bonino and Brad Richardson return to the lineup in a week or 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
Who would you rather have in your top 12? Ronnie Kennings or Lyndon Vay?
Wow. That's a good question. Right now, Kennings is more effective. He's more noticeable.
He's making outscored. A case over Vay.
He is. And Vay, you know, even before these injury problems, Vay was having trouble getting the lineup too, right? He was one of the guys, him and Kasten were the ones kind of being benched when the Canucks were healthier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see, you know, as much as I haven't moved my David Booth nameplate to Lyndon Bay nameplate yet on my nice number 7 connectors. Well, I'm not going to walk around with a Booth name on there as much as
or
I like.
Or you could just not walk around with the jersey at all, Clay.
That's a couple $100 though. Well, anyway, yes, well, maybe I'll put my own. No. I heard that you should only put your own name on if
don't
you're like
do
12,
it.
12 years old or younger, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right,
you don't have any Lee jerseys
no,
rolling around your
no
house?
No, Lee jerseys rolling around the house, unfortunately.
Okay, just making sure.
So very quickly, you would have Kennings over Vay in your lineup?
Depending on the opponent, of course, but yes, right now I would. Yes.
I mean, for me, it's not even close. I would rather have a guy who's a fixture on the fourth line than a guy who you can't really tell should belong on the second or the third line in Lyndon Vay.
Like, that's a great point.
Like, Ronnie Kennings has a defined role on this team. No one expects him to be a third line or a second line player. They just expect him to be this grinding fourth line crash and bang winger who occasionally, he's shown, can chip in with the odd goal.
You're right. And Matt, what does Vay do well?
Exactly. You've seen Lyndon Vay lately experimented on the power play in front of the net. I don't really notice him out there.
No, he's not. I don't think he's particularly strong in face-offs, especially for a guy who's played at center, right? So. And yes, he's young. He's very young. Let's never forget that. But what does he do? He doesn't bring anything that Kennings wouldn't from a standpoint of effectiveness, truly.
Yeah, and by no means am I saying that the Canucks should just trade Lyndon Vay for spare parts or anything. I mean, he still played 11-20 against the Islanders,
yeah.
So I think that Willie Desjardins is still trying to give him the chance to succeed. But, I mean, I think... If I had to pick between Vay and Kennings, it would probably be Kennings at this point, because I'd rather have defined players in their defined roles at this stage of the season than having a guy who you're sort of experimenting with in your lineup.
You're a smart guy. That's why you are best lead in a podcast.
Oh, I know. Thank you. What?
You're welcome.
What else were we going to talk about here?
We were
going to talk NHL standings.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Very quickly here. The Vancouver Canucks woke up today, Monday morning, in second place in the Pacific Division. 71 points.
Awesome.
Now, last year, the Dallas Stars took home the last wild card spot with 91. That might be a bit of an aberration, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I can't foresee it taking only 91 points this year.
Oh, very low.
Well, I'd say it's very low. I'd say the barrier is usually 95 points to make the postseason.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
So if it takes another 24 points to get to 95 for the Canucks, that means in the remaining 23 games, they need 24 points. So essentially, they'll need to go 500.
Yes, and with this whole loser point or overtime point, as you know, shootout loss point, that's definitely doable considering they're at 71 points in 59 games now.
Right. So let's say hypothetically that if there are 23 games left, 46 points up for grabs for the Vancouver Canucks, that they take 30 of them, which would give them a 100-point season, which would probably be enough for them to at least get one of the top three seeds in the Pacific Division.
And you certainly take that over last year.
Cool. Yes, of course.
Yes.
I'm going to name some potential playoff opponents. Like, we're getting to that part of the season now where you can start thinking about maybe playoff opponents.
Sure.
And you tell me which of them you would like to face the most, down to the ones you'd rather face the least.
Sure.
The Los Angeles Kings.
Absolutely do not want to face them.
Let me give you the list.
Oh, sorry. I got a little excited there.
Yeah, you did. Jumped the gun. The Los Angeles Kings.
Absolutely. Oh, sorry. Okay, I got it.
The Winnipeg Jets. The Minnesota Wild. And the Calgary Flames.
All right. In order. So those are the four?
Yes. Let's throw San Jose in there just in case.
Okay. In order, I would love to see the Canucks play Minnesota, San Jose, Calgary, Winnipeg, and L.A. And I'll go in reverse order for my reason. L.A., they've won seven in a row. They've quietly crept up to third place in the Pacific Division, although tied with San Jose.
I don't know how quietly that is if you've won seven in a row.
No, it's true, but it's just coming from where they were 3 weeks ago. It's pretty amazing. And they're actually, as you know, only 3 points behind the Canucks with a game in hand. The Canucks were the ones with the game in hand all the time. So L.A. is essentially could be close to within a point of the Canucks. So we all, the Stanley Cup champs, we know that they hit their stride around this time. And so L.A., done deal, my most feared opponent. I think Winnipeg, just because they're built for the playoffs the way, yes, and losing Matthew Perreault is going to be a big, you know, unfortunately a big loss for them. But I think they are ready.
They also
ready.
Have Dustin Byfuglien.
Yes. And they're
playoff demon, Dustin Byfuglien.
They're primed. I think they're a rough and tough team. And we remember that game at Rogers Arena 2 weeks ago, how exciting that was. You know, I think I could see, especially the Canucks finish second or third, if they wind up playing Calgary or San Jose, or maybe not, those are two teams where I think they'll be very competitive series, but I think they can beat. And Minnesota, I think, are the weakest of those. Actually, all three of them are about the same, Minnesota, Calgary, and San Jose. I think it could go either way in a seven-game series, but certainly not as daunting as Winnipeg and L.A. You?
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree. I think I'd rather face Calgary of the most teams if I'm picking, but it seems unlikely. Well, I mean, a lot can still change in the last quarter of the season, but I agree. I would not want to face Los Angeles at all if I'm the Vancouver Canucks. There's obviously a lot of travel involved there, going all the way down to California and then coming back.
Yep.
I mean, Stanley Cup champs, nothing more needs to be said.
And just looking forward, Matt, it just underscores the importance of finishing second or third, basically not finishing as the wild card team, because then you're playing either Nashville, who's probably going to win the Central, or Anaheim, who's going to win the Pacific. And I don't know
That's
if there's anyone that would...
I think, for any team.
Exactly. No one would say that the Canucks would likely beat one of those two teams in a seven-game series.
Who of the two, who would you rather face, though?
Who would I rather face?
Of Nashville and Anaheim. Pick your poison.
At Anaheim, for sure. I think you never know when division rivals play against each other. There's more familiarity. There's a whole Kessler storyline once again. And I just think Pekka Rinne is a much better goalie than Frederik Andersen, although Andersen's doing well. And I would
He's
not
also
want
on
to
the
play...
shelf, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wouldn't want to play Rinne in a... I don't know how you beat that guy four times.
Can you imagine the Canucks in a seven-game playoff series against Ryan Kessler? All the storylines ensuing? Friend of the show, Jason Botchford, would play a role in that series, I feel.
It would be crazy. Yeah, they might dress him as the 13th forward. No, he'd be a... It would be crazy. Can you imagine just the hype around that? And you never know. That could... If it doesn't happen in the first round, it could easily be the second-round matchup, right? If the Canucks get through.
Garth, that was a haiku.
Okay, the Canucks win last night, and for you, Matt, and for all of the C4 listeners, we are once again going to channel the power of the 575 with some CHB Haiku. Are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
The craze that is sweeping the nation.
It's sweeping the nation, the thousands upon thousands.
There you go. So here's the first one. And Anna C. at Anna 585858. She's either 5'8 tall or she likes the number 58 or whatever it may be. But this is her first haiku. So here, this is exciting. So this is her first one. It says, both Canucks goalies played incredibly awesome. Cassian scores again. What do you think, Matt? Not bad for a first try.
That was pretty good. That was actually better than some of the other garbage that you had fed to us over the last couple episodes. No offense to the people who did submit haikus or anything.
But I think we know who you're talking about. But I need some clarification, and Canuck Sean tried to help me with this. Cassian, two or three syllables?
Ooh, that's a tough one. See, I think phonetically you sort of say Cassian. Cassian.
Right.
Or do you say Cass-E-N?
Right.
I think it's actually the latter, so maybe it is three syllables.
Yeah, well, regardless, I've been called up. I'm not too,
What is Sean thinking? What do you think?
I thought it was two because I like Anna, so Cassian scores again, right?
Yeah.
That's five syllables. But then Sean thought it might be three, but I said, I'd give or take one or two syllables on either end. I'm not too...
Put it out to the Twitter first and see what they think because, there's a lot of haikus that come in about Zach Cassian.
That's true. Okay, folks, help us out. Is Cassian two or three syllables? Brian T. Klein at 04PHUXACH.
Yep.
Okay, we know. He sent two. The first one is, Miller goes down hard, Lack steps in and gets the win. What controversy?
I like the last line especially the most.
Yeah, I think he says it like that.
I think he nails it on the head too, by the way.
Yep. Get ready for a lot of goalie talk, especially if Miller's going to be out for a while. Actually, regardless of how long Miller's out, I think it's going to be
great. It's always been there, right? But now there's an opportunity here for Eddie Lack to get some more regular games.
There you go. And he also, Brian said another one, Canucks win again, 2-for-3 on this road trip. Two more wins would do. You think Canucks can pull out wins in Boston and Buffalo, Matt?
Well, I mean, you and I suspected that the Canucks would get 5 of a possible 10 points here, and they've already hit 4. So at this point, I think it would be reasonable to suggest that the Canucks pick up at least a point in their last two games here. But there is the possibility that they can take 2, I think.
Right. Awesome. And we're going to end with 2 more. Shoe Thief at Stuck on the Sofa, the male dog, says, PVR delay, watching all 4 Canucks goals, the Oscars await. And then Shuthi says, please don't block me. So I presume he's saying, don't block me because I'd rather watch the Oscars over the Canucks. That's what he's saying, right?
I believe so.
So I would never block. I'm not BX. I would never block someone for doing that trivial. Thank you, thank you. And then in response to this, another Oscar-related one, he's very prevalent on Twitter, but he doesn't send haikus all the time, but I love him. It's Coop. It's at 1COOOP. At one Coop, and he says this to me and to Brian Klein. Keep it down, you guys. I am watching NPH, i.e. Neil Patrick Harris, bomb on the Oscars.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? How did he do?
He was okay, but I think there were a lot of people who wanted Ellen DeGeneres back from last year.
All right, Coop,
seemed to be the general reaction.
So would you agree with Coop on that one then?
I think he was okay, but I think given it was NPH, a lot of people expected more.
Sure. And then I won't read them all, but it led to some nice haikus from Tina, from Brian, about the Oscar. So it kind of went on a tangent, which is kind of cool. Another sign that it's sweeping the nation. Oh, we got one last one, sorry. And this is from Larry Wong at Larry Wong 84. Does a brilliant job of sending me a haiku every game. And he says this. He says, I can't even find it now. Sorry, this doesn't make good for... here it is. It is.
Get it together, Clay.
Okay, I stink. Oh, here we go. Nuts blank Islanders. Tomorrow's headline would read, Long Island iced sea, with the sea in quotes. So he did two things there. At first I thought he was C for Canucks, right? Iced tea, iced sea,
yep.
Long Island, blah, blah, blah. And then he pointed out to me that there's a wrestler named Zack Ryder, and he has a reality show on YouTube called Long Island Ice Z, because I guess he's from Long Island. So he not only put the C for Canucks, but he also tied it into a wrestling reference. So, basically, he's two steps ahead of me. Which is not hard to do.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Coop. Thank you, Shoe Thief. And thank you, Anna, for your first ever response and your first ever haiku. You know it's sweeping the nation when people are getting on and trying hard. with their first one, regardless of 17 or 18 syllables.
All right, Clay, that's going to wrap it up for episode 48 of the C4 podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Once again, there's a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at Canucks Hockey or at Canuck Clay or at MattLee980 or at LightForce, by the way. You got to drop Chris Golden's name in there. You can follow us on Facebook at C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. I think that's what it's called. And also at the Canucks Hockey Blog on Facebook as well. Nailed it.
I think you got it right.
Pretty much for the most part. You know what? You can't expect perfection every time with Chris Golden, but nonetheless, that'll do it for us from here. We will be back, hopefully in the middle of the week, to recap the Boston and Buffalo games and really the five-game road trip as a whole, and we'll figure out whether Ryan Miller will be back as the Canucks starter or if he's going to be on the shelf for a little bit of time. Clay, anything else you want to add?
No, it's really too bad he doesn't get to play, especially going back.
To Buffalo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the rivalry against Boston, too, right? It'd be nice for him to play in Boston, in Buffalo, but obviously health is more important, and we won't know until we get more news from the Canucks medical staff. Otherwise, yeah, it would be great for the Canucks to come back with two more wins, and you got now L.A. along with San Jose and Calgary nipping at their heels.
All right, well, on behalf of Canuck Clay, Clay Nemo, I am Matt Lee at MattLee980 on the Twitter machine, telling you guys thank you for listening to the C4 podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. With that, we're out. Come and join being led to the flood. We got another thing coming undone.